Asbestos, a group of minerals that became popular because of their tensile strength and usefulness in cement and road construction, is now a known cancer-causing agent. Its use is now banned in many European countries, but despite this, the World Health Organization estimates that 125 million people worldwide remain exposed to the product. In Canada, asbestos is being removed from public libraries and schools because of its harmful effects. What many people don't realize, though, is that until recently, the province of Quebec was also simultaneously mining and exporting the deadly substance to countries like India, the Philippines, and Indonesia. The mine has since closed, but there has been talk of reopening Jeffrey Mine, which could extend production of asbestos for another 25 years. On January 14th of this year, the Quebec Association of Lung Specialists released a statement urging the province not to reopen the mine. On today's episode of the Health Justice Radio Collective, we speak with Dr. David Eigelman, a professor of medicine at Brown University, who has written extensively about Canada's asbestos exports.
Listening to Health Justice Radio Collective on CFMU 93.3. On
the line with us is Dr. David Eigelman. He's a professor of medicine at Brown University, and he's written quite a lot about Canadian asbestos. Hi, Dr. Eigelman.
Hello.
From a medical perspective, what's happening in the body when someone is exposed to asbestos?
Okay. Well, you inhale it. It gets into the lungs, and it primarily causes three diseases in the lung. It causes a scarring of the lung called asbestosis, and that what happens is the asbestos gets into the lung and the lung tries to destroy it, but it can't be destroyed. And so the next thing the lung does is it tries to wall it off or scar tissue forms around. Now, when scar tissue forms, normally, let's say you cut your elbow and you had a little scar, that wouldn't be a problem. But if you've got a really bad burn on your elbow, such that the whole thing got scarred up, you wouldn't be able to move your elbow. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens with the lung. All these little scars prevent you from being able to move your lung, and you get more and more and more short of breath, and eventually most people die from pneumonia because their lungs are no longer capable of supporting them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a much lower amount of asbestos, and we don't know how little, causes lung cancer. And so it causes lung cancer. You don't need the scarring first, okay, because a dose of asbestos that can cause the lung cancer doesn't have to be high enough to cause scarring. And then some of the asbestos leaves the lung, and it gets into the lining of the lung. And it causes cancer in the lining of the lung. So there's two cancers in the chest, one of the lung, one of the lining of the lung, and a really bad scarring disease in the lung.
So I guess the argument that was put forward by the Canadian government and the industry-backed scientists was that chrysotile on its own was safe, and that it was the other components in asbestos that were causing cancer. And you've been critical of this argument, so I'm wondering if you can talk a bit about...
Well, first, that's not correct. They have never said that chrysotile does not cause lung cancer. They basically ignore lung cancer and focus on the cancer of the lining of the lung. There's no one, no scientist, who claims that chrysotile does not cause lung cancer, okay, as far as I know. So they claim chrysotile doesn't cause the lining of the lung cancer. Well, most of the cancers caused by asbestos are not the lining of the lung cancer. They're actually lung cancer. In fact, it's probably 4 or 5 to 1. For every cancer of the lining of the lung, 4 or 5 people get cancer of the lung, and no one has ever challenged the fact that chrysotile causes cancer of the lung tissue.
So what you're saying is that the Canadian government knows that it's quite deadly and continues to export it.
Well, I don't know what they know, but the scientific community knows it's quite deadly. Everybody knows it's quite deadly who studied it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it could be that the Canadian government consists of, you know, people who are uneducated, illiterate, or ignorant, and they may not know.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't know, they're some of the, they basically, if you've seen this, the picture of the three mice, you know, see no evil, hear no evil,
mm-hmm.
they're two of the three mice, okay, because they're speaking evil
mm-hmm.
So, by telling people that it's not dangerous.
So can you tell me more about the science that's produced, that has been produced or kind of touted by the Chrysotile Institute in Canada?
They've spent about, first of all, I have to understand the Mining Association, the Quebec Mining Association, described hiring Corbett MacDonald and McGill, who did all the studies up there, as their way of copying the tobacco company's strategy of developing a scientific argument to claim that tobacco didn't cause cancer. So they specifically said that they want their own hero, like the tobacco companies had heroes, to be able to make an argument that, like the one they're making now.
Mm-hmm.
That was that's in their minutes from the early 60s. So that's the origin of all this research. It was started, initiated, and largely funded by the Quebec Asbestos Mining Association. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they got what they paid for. Okay? They got a bunch of scientists, in quotes, who are willing to, say, make up all kinds of different reasons. And they've made up all kinds of different reasons. They've got about 6 different reasons historically to the present for why they claim asbestos from Canada doesn't cause the same cancer as other asbestos. They originally said the asbestos didn't cause cancer. It was the jute bags that caused cancer. There was something in the jute bags that caused cancer. And then that turned out to be a crock of, cow dung. Scientific merit, okay, and so they went to the next argument, and the next argument was, well, it turns out that the trucks are leaking oil at the mine site, and some of the oil gets on the asbestos, and so it's the oil that causes the cancer, not the asbestos, okay, that didn't pan out so good for them either. Okay, so then they went to another argument. They claimed that, well, it wasn't for this lining of the lung cancer. Remember, they never made this argument for the lung cancer in the lung,
mm-hmm.
just the lining of the lung cancer. They came up with an argument saying, well, it wasn't the chrysotile asbestos. It was a contaminant in the chrysotile asbestos that came out of the mine that was mined with the asbestos. That's called tremolite. So they never claimed that tremolite was the cause of all the lung cancers, because that would make no sense. They claimed that tremolite was the cause of the lining of the lung cancer.
Okay.
And they made up some studies which they never described. They claimed to compare high and low tremolite mines, and that they found some mesotheliomas in the low tremolite mines, but less. But they've never disclosed which mine is which, and there's never been a paper saying these are the low tremolite mines versus the high tremolite mines. So that was also all made up. Now, the newest argument that they've made up is chrysotile doesn't stay in the lung long enough to cause the cancer. Well, the cancer they're talking about isn't in the lung. And the chrysotile doesn't get destroyed in 2 or 3 weeks, which is what they claim. The chrysotile gets transported to the place, where the cancers occur, the lining of the lung. So when you look at the lining of the lung, which there have been 4 studies from 4 different countries that have looked at the lining of the lung, including one from Canada, It turns out that the most common fiber found in the lining of the lung is chrysotile. Mm-hmm. So that the bullet is found where the cancer occurs, and that bullet is their asbestos for the most part. Not South African asbestos, not Russian asbestos, not that communist asbestos, but actually their asbestos is the most common asbestos where the cancer occurs. And everybody agrees that the asbestos has to come in contact with the cells in order to cause the cancer. And the asbestos form that's most commonly in contact with the cells happens to be their asbestos.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really matter what's in the lung or how long it lasts in the lung, because that's not where the cancer they claim it doesn't cause occurs. Mm-hmm. That occurs in the lining of the lung. And in fact, they don't dispute the fact that in the place where they measure the asbestos, all right, it does cause cancer, even though it doesn't, quote, biopersist long. Biopersist means they claim it goes away after a few weeks. Unfortunately, the cancers begin within hours or days of coming in contact with the asbestos. So it's irrelevant if the asbestos doesn't stay 3 weeks or 4 weeks, because the cancer starts to develop within hours or days. Now, it takes 20 to 40 to 50 years before the cancer becomes fully manifest in most people, but the process starts within days or weeks. And so the biopersistence argument makes no sense from what we know about the biology or the geography, okay? It's like saying, well, we don't find asbestos in your toenails, therefore it can't cause cancer of the lining of the lung. Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't matter where you don't find it. Where you do find it is where the cancer is, in the lining of the lung.
So in miners in Quebec, have you found or have people found that there's an increased risk or rate of mesothelioma?
Of course.
And in mines where only chrysotile is mined as well?
Yeah, that's all they have there. But they found increases in mesothelioma in all of the studies that they've looked. Now, they claim that the East Brotham mine, which was a carry mine, and remember when I say mine, in East Brotham alone, there were probably 50 mines at one point or another. But the largest mine was the carry mine.
Mm-hmm.
And the companies, to defend lawsuits, sent some people into that community, that mine, just 4 or 5 years ago, and they claimed it only had chrysotile.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it turns out that there's a worker, at least one worker, from that mine who got cancer of the lining of the stomach, which is an even more rare cancer than the cancer of the lining of the lung, also caused by asbestos exposure, and that was well known to the board of occupational medicine, because he was compensated by the Occupational Disease Board of Quebec. There were the whole Sherbrooke Occupational Lung Disease Group confirmed that it was an asbestos cancer of the lining of the lung, lining of the abdomen. But that case was never published. Nobody knew about that case. I found that case because I actually took an advertisement out. And the daughter of that worker called me up and told me that her father had died from mesothelioma of the lining of the abdomen. So I don't know how many other cases there are out there that the doctors in Quebec decided not to tell anybody about. The records of the Worker Compensation Board are kept secret. Only the companies get to know exactly, and their researchers, and they have always claimed that this particular cancer that this guy got and died from in the early 80s, okay, they claim there was never, that there's never been a case of this cancer in all of Quebec. So I took out one ad and I found one case. So, and I told you how many people up there knew about this case, had signed on this case.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I don't know how many other cases of this particular really rare cancer there are, and we don't really know how many cases of the lining of the lung cancer there are.
Mm-hmm. So they're talking about reopening this mine. I mean, are there, I guess, quote-unquote safe mining techniques? Like, if people know this, who would choose to work in this potential mine?
Well, workers would choose to work because they need a job. They're not, it's not like the workers have a choice. And they can put them in, if they put them in respirators all the time and eliminate the exposures, then there's no risk to those workers. It's much easier to control exposures in a place like a mine than it is in a workplace where there's construction work going on on forms of asbestos that are cut in a haphazard manner, like asbestos pipe.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a mine is one place. It's like a factory. The mill is a factory, essentially. You can implement controls so that there can be no exposure.
Mm-hmm.
But so there shouldn't be much risk to the Canadian miners. There may be some because everything doesn't work all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the real risk is when Canada has decided, for the most part, it is not sophisticated enough a country to be able to use the asbestos products that people in India, China, and Southeast Asia are going to be using in a safe way. So Canada has decided that, for the most part, they're incapable of using these products, quote, safely. So these products are basically not used in Canada. Asbestos cement, asbestos tiles for ceilings, because they can't be used safely in Canada. Because you apparently are not smart enough, you're not rich enough, you're not sophisticated enough to use these products safely. But you can export them to India, Africa, China. They apparently are much more sophisticated, much wealthier, have much better protections in place. The workers are more powerful, so they can demand protections than Canadian workers are. That's their claim.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's credible, that claim. I work in these countries. I have a nonprofit organization that works with medical and nursing schools in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. And I don't see that those countries are as even sophisticated as Canada is. Okay? They're not even close to Canada in terms of protecting workers in the most basic of ways. So it is ridiculous to think that products that can't be used safely in Canada can be used safely in rural India or urban India.
Mm-hmm.
It's nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
So Canada is not exporting asbestos. Canada is exporting death and disease.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have a lot of trees up there. You know, I think what the asbestos industry should do, or the Canadians should do, the Canadian government should do, because you want to market your trees, along with the asbestos, you should send coffins maybe you could actually put the asbestos in coffins so they can use it, and then they'll be prepared to start burying the workers.
Dr. Eagleman, you're sounding very pessimistic, which I'm a bit surprised about, considering that there has been quite a bit of, community mobilization around, trying to pressure the Canadian government to stop. Are you at all hopeful that the mine won't be opened?
No.
No?
I think I've read too much Canadian political history.
Mm-hmm.
Pierre Trudeau only wrote one book, and it was about the asbestos strike of 1949, and he viewed that strike as the most important political phenomenon in Canada for the entire century. So the mines, which were mostly owned by English-speaking Americans and Britons, while the workers were all French-Canadians,
mm-hmm.
exploited the political situation in Canada such that it made both political parties afraid to stop advantaging the mines. So the question is as large as the secession of Quebec from Canada at large. There's, I think, a real belief, which may be accurate, that if the Canadian government stops assisting the mine owners, even though now they'll be foreign mine owners,
mm-hmm.
okay, that could tip the balance. A political balance, and you might have two countries up there and not one.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not a local political issue. This is a national political issue. Because in those elections where Quebec decided not to leave Canada, they were close elections. Okay? And so just 3 or 5% flip, and it would have gone the other way, as I recall. And people think that the asbestos issue in Quebec could produce that kind of a flip. And it can certainly produce that kind of a flip between the Liberals and the Conservatives. So it's a big political issue. It's not a small public health issue.
Well, thanks so much for being with us today, Dr. Eagleman.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. That was Dr. David Eagleman, a professor of medicine at Brown University, and we reached him by phone. We were speaking about asbestos in Quebec, and more specifically about the controversy surrounding the possible reopening of Jeffrey Mine, an asbestos mine in Quebec. That's all we have for today's episode of the Health Justice Radio Collective. My name is Nikki Bozanoff, and you're listening to CFMU 93.3 in Hamilton. Please join us next Monday, same time, 1:30 on Mondays, where we'll be speaking with Donna Berry, Advocacy and Policy Director at Partners in Health. To find out more about our show or to listen to past episodes, you can find us online at healthjusticeradio.wordpress.com. Have a great week.